Tell us about your office, location, staff, and that kind of thing.
The office is in a house that the government rents on the Circus Maximus, Aventine Hill. If this was my office, that would be the Circus Maximus right there, which really worked out great with journalists because I would sit with my back to the wall and it had a big couch and put the journalist over there. So anytime I get stumped for something, I'd say, boy, isn't it amazing to be here with the Circus Maximus? Which happens fairly regularly to journalists, quite frankly. So it was a nice little house. It's not a big mission, see, because we don't have consular activity, business promotion, et cetera. We had a couple political officers, protocol officer, some writers to turn out the daily grind of press releases and statements for different things. And then me and my DCM, that's the State Department person called the Deputy Chief of Mission. He's kind of the chief of staff of the ambassador, kind of keeps the wheels on. And is a career, always a career official. Many of them end their careers by being ambassadors as well.
So you ask a lot of questions of him, I suppose. He gave you lots of counsel and guidance.
And there's a lot of things that they do that the ambassador don't want to fool with. So you can be off making speeches or attending public events, and they keep the wheels on, make first draft of different policy statements and things. But everything that goes out of an embassy goes out under the ambassador's name. So you really have to pay attention to what they write and edit it and make sure it's right. When the WikiLeaks happened, there was a cable about Poland that I'd written about the Holy See wanting to use the Poles to strengthen religion in Eastern Europe. Logical enough. When the WikiLeaks thing came out, some columnist, a Vatican columnist, made a comment that that had to have been written by the State Department folks because no ambassador would know enough about Poland to write that. I called him up. I said, that is totally incorrect. I actually used a stronger language. I said, I wrote every word of that thing. But anyhow.
It's quite impressive. Your staff, though, you couldn't hire or fire. I mean, whatever.
No, and it was very interesting for me, having run a business all my life, to have a team there that I didn't hire, couldn't fire, and could really do very little to incentivize or manage because they're civil servants from the State Department.
How did that work? Did you feel you needed to or you should have been able to?
Well, I learned a lot there of trying to figure out how to motivate people without the traditional tools. For example, one thing they tell you about in an ambassador school is a lot of the do's and don'ts that you can't use government money for or government people for doing personal things. For example, making a personal restaurant reservation for Kathleen and the kids to go eat when the kids are over there. That's not official business. So technically, the OMS, which is what the secretary is called over there, the office management specialist, is not supposed to do that, nor is she supposed to mail a personal letter for you. So I said, okay, I would email Sharon here and say, Sharon, could you please make a reservation at Giovanni's over here around the corner from our house in Rome? She would make the reservation, or airplane tickets or whatever. So finally, Tammy, the OMS, came in and said, you know, I can make these reservations for you and do all this stuff. And I said, technically you're not supposed to. She said, well, I can if I want. I said, okay. I just didn't want to get afoul of any rules. And they put those rules in there so that if the ambassador's a jerk, the people don't get abused. And it's smart. I can understand it now, and I agree with it, because not all ambassadors care whether Tammy feels good or not. But coming from a company of people, I wanted to make sure everybody wanted to do a good job and felt good and wanted their feedback and that kind of stuff.
So. And that staff must have noticed that difference, perhaps, read that in you, and that must have been their incentive to work.
Well, I was probably a little more casual than my predecessor. He's a former military guy.
Who was your predecessor?
Jim Nicholson. Great guy. Great Republican leader, great family person, great Catholic, great ambassador. But each person's style is different. I was more casual. Theoretically, everybody stands up when an ambassador comes in the room. Well, they did that one day. First staff meeting that afternoon when we got there. I said, you don't have to do that. That's ridiculous. A lot of times I purposely miss the staff meetings and say, Chris, you guys figure this out.
They addressed you as Mr. Ambassador.
Oh, yeah. They always do that. Always do that. But this standing up, that's kind of ridiculous. And having to wear a coat in the meeting.